We'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of John. We'd like to read from John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I think that one of the most wonderful blessings that we can have in this world is to understand why we are here. I believe that most of God's children, as they live here in the world, they just kind of flounder around with no particular direction, with no course of action, with no understanding of what it is that they're supposed to be doing. And I pray that God will bless us as we look at His holy word tonight, that we can get some direction to our lives, and that we can know exactly some of the things that God has said that we are here for, to know why we are here, and then to be doing those things that we are here for. It'll bring great joy and blessings to all of our lives. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign, true, living, the only God. Lord, we thank you for your bountiful blessings in all of our lives. You've been so good to us, and I know that we have a season that we call Thanksgiving, and yet you've taught us in everything to give thanks. And we pray that you would help us to have a more thankful heart than what we have, that we begin to realize that every day of our lives that we have so much to be thanking you for. And we pray that we would not only thank you with the words of our mouths, but by the deeds of our lives, help us to show forth the gratitude that we feel for thy goodness to us. We thank you again for the health to be able to be in the house of God this night. Lord, we know that there are many that desire to be in the house of the Lord but are providentially hindered, and we pray that you would be with them and bless them, that you would comfort them on their beds of affliction, and you would strengthen them and lift them up. Bless all of those in the nursing homes and hospitals in a very special way. And Lord, we pray that you would bless those that live in countries where they don't have the freedom to be able to come together without fear of physical persecution. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for the great witness that they are of how much they love you, that they're willing to die in order to serve you and to worship you. And we pray that you would help all of us this night to realize how blessed we are to have the freedom to be able to come together in the house of the Lord. Pray again that you would bless all those that are sick and afflicted. We pray especially that you bless Sister Michelle every day, that you would continue to be with her and bless the work that the doctors are doing, bless the medication, and above all, we pray that thou as the great physician would touch her body, completely heal and restore her to her health, to thy name's honor and glory, and to her good and the good of her family and the good of the church. Bless her and bless all of her family. Be with all the others who are sick and afflicted, every individual and each family that's represented here tonight. Bless all those that are on our hearts and minds. We pray that you would bless those who are with child. Bless Sister Brandy in a very special way. We pray that you would bless her as she brings forth Maddie, that you would bless both of them. And then bless Brother Jake and Sister Brandy as they bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless all the parents here. Help them to realize and understand what a tremendous responsibility they have to bring up their children in the right way. So help them and bless them and help us to help each other. Lord, we pray that you bless those who have lost loved ones. Bless Sister Cheryl and all of her family and the loss of her grandfather and all the others that are on the prayer list that have lost loved ones and others that are on our hearts and minds that stand in great need of thy help. Bless us all. Pray that you would bless Sister Darthel and the loss of Brother Shorty, and that you would comfort her and bless her and be with her. We pray that you would bless us during this coming week, that you would guide and direct our footsteps. We pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart and the actions that we do, they would be acceptable in thy sight. Keep us mindful of your presence every day. May your Holy Spirit lead us in paths of righteousness to thy name's honor and glory. Help us now as we study thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from John chapter 18 and verse 37. Look, please, at John chapter 18 and verse 37. The Word of God says, Pilate therefore said unto him, that is, Pilate speaking to Jesus. Pilate said, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus makes a statement here. He says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." He knew, Jesus knew exactly why he was here. He came down from heaven not to do his own will, but to do the will of him that sent him. He came to do the Father's will. He came for many different reasons. He came to set up his church. He came to set an example for his people. He came to save his people from their sins. And Jesus knew every single thing that he was here for. And Jesus accomplished everything he was sent to do. And I believe that that's one of the greatest, most wonderful testimonies that we have, is to look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, to look at his life, and to know that he came for a purpose, really many purposes, and he came and he accomplished everything that he came to do. Now, I believe that's true not only of Jesus Christ, but I believe that every child of God has works that God would have them to be doing. And I believe that one of the problems that we have sometimes is we don't know for sure what God would have us to do. And so it is that many children of God, they cannot say, "Here's the reason I'm here." And I wonder how many of you tonight, if I were to say, "Tell me, what is your purpose of being on this earth? Why are you here on this earth?" Can you say, "Here's the reason I'm here"? Do you have a very clear understanding of what it is God has for you to be doing in your life? Now, the Apostle Paul is one of the many other examples that there are in the Word of God, that the Apostle Paul, I believe, had a life that he was determined to do what God gave him to do. I believe the Apostle Paul knew what the Lord had for him to do. And when the Apostle Paul came to the close of his life, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have," what's the next word? "I have" what? "I have finished my course." He finished what he came to do. And that's the same words that Jesus said whenever he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." And Paul says, "I have finished my course and I have kept the faith." So it is, brethren, that we as the people of God, we need to pray, "God, help me to know why I'm here. What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing?" And then help me to do everything I'm supposed to be doing, so that when I reach a point in my life that I'm close to the end, that I too can say, "I finished what God gave me to do." I believe there's great satisfaction in completing tasks that we have to do. There are many people that never finish anything. Or I'm not going to say they never finish anything, but there are some people that start many different things, but they seldom finish anything in their lives. And their lives are just a turmoil. But when you find somebody that sets a course in their lives and they have a clear understanding of what it is they want to do and what God would have them to do, and they work hard to do what God would have them to do, they're going to have great satisfaction every day. I believe that while he was building the ark, I believe that even though, I don't think Noah had to finish the ark before he had satisfaction. I think Noah knew what he had to do, and he spent 100 years building that ark, and I believe at the close of every day that Noah and his sons were working, I believe that Noah had great satisfaction, because when he lay down on his bed at night, he could say, "Now I have finished the work I was supposed to do today," and then he could get up the next day and start all over. And I hope that every one of us can begin to understand every day, I've got work to do. I have a lot of things to do that my Father has given me to do, and I need to be busy about my Father's business. Every day, I hope that you're working and doing not the things that you want to do. Well, let me rephrase that. I think that the things that, if you want to do the will of the Father, then the things that you're going to want to do are the things that God would have you to do. I want to do the will of my Father. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to get to the specific works, the Lord willing, but I want to talk about some general works first. There are some things that God has for every one of His children to do. In other words, when I talk about that to this end was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world, when I think about that I have things to do, did you know there are some things that all of us have to do that are all the same thing? Same thing's true in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. There are things that all of us have that we're supposed to be doing physically and literally, but then there are spiritual things that we're supposed to be doing. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has created us unto good works. I would remind you that all the good works you do will not get you into the eternal heaven. We are not saved eternally by our works. We're not going to be in heaven because we finished our course. God is not going to say to anyone in the final resurrection, He's not going to say, "You did a good job, and therefore, because you finished your work, you're going to get to go to heaven." That's not going to happen in the final resurrection. But God does say to His obedient children, while they're living here in this world, God does say to them, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And I think, brethren, that when God's people are understanding what it is that they're to be doing, and they're doing what God has for them to do, I think that every day they're going to feel well done, experience and feel fellowship with God, and have great joy in serving the Lord. It's a joy to serve the Lord. When you know what God has done for you, when you know that God has saved you from your sins, and you know that God is blessing you every day in your life, and He has so many blessings that He's pouring out in your life, you want to do that would honor Him every day. And then when you do it, it pleases Him, but you find great reward in serving the Lord. Now, if you were to take the book of Ephesians and look at the fact that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, did you know that the next thing that the Word of God does, would you say that's general or specific whenever He says in Ephesians 2:10 that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works? Would you say that's a general statement or a specific statement? Maybe I'm not, that's exactly what I wanted you to say. I think that's a general statement. I remember early when I began to really try to serve the Lord, I remember that I would hear preachers preach sometimes, and when they would finish, I would go to them and I'd say, "I know that I'm supposed to serve the Lord, but I don't know what to do. And I want you to tell me exactly what to do. I want you to be more specific. I want you to help give me some direction in my life." And sometimes I remember one preacher said, "If you don't know what to do," I don't remember what his final statement was, but it was something very cutty. It was like, "Surely you know what to do." And I didn't know what to do. I was being honest. I had no idea what to do in my life. I knew I wanted to please God. I knew I was supposed to please God. But I wanted Him to say, "Go do this." I wanted Him to give me some specific, lay it out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Give me a list of things to do. I need to know exactly what it is that God would have me to do. And I believe that God tells us exactly. You might say, "Well, you don't need a laundry list." And I understand that kind of thinking. But I also know that you need some very simple things. When you start out as a babe in Christ and you don't know what to do, you need from the Word of God, you need somebody to say, "Now here is something God would have you to do." Something very simple, something very specific. So after He says in Ephesians 2:10 that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, then come to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at how He then begins to give some very 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He gives a list of things here that we're to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, look please at verse 25. He's going to tell now, He's already said He's created us to do good works. And then he tells us some good works to do. He says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, he says, "Wherefore, putting away lying." Now, is that a good work, to put away lying? And this is what he does in this list here. He says, now here is what you need to stop doing, and here is what you need to start doing. So he says, stop lying. Put away lying. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So what's he saying? Stop lying and speak the truth. Now, sometimes people say, well, I want to know more specifically what God would have me to do. I want to know what my calling is in this world. I want to know what it is God would have me to do. Listen, brethren, if you want to know some specific things that God would have you to do, you first have to do those specific things that all of God's children are supposed to be doing. We want to get way ahead of God sometimes. We want to jump to graduation day, and we're still in kindergarten, and we're not willing to do what the basics are. We're not willing to do the simple things. We want something great to do to serve God, and until you do the simple things, He'll never call you to do. He will never let you know the great things that He will use you for. He will not use you for greater things until you do the first things. You've got to do the first works. You've got to get the simple things down. First thing he says here is stop lying and speak the truth. Look at verse 26. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Do you have anger in your heart? Do you have anger in your heart? If you've got anger in your heart, then you better get rid of it. Because if you don't get rid of the anger in your heart, you know, whatever it is that you think God might have for you to do that you don't know for sure what it is, He's not going to tell you what to do down there until you first get rid of these first things. Stop lying. Stop being angry. Stop holding malice in your heart. If you don't do these things, you're never going to know what He would have used you for in other greater ways. Verse 20, "Neither give place to the devil" is verse 27. Look at verse 28. Verse 28, he says, "Let him that stole steal no more." Let me ask you this question. Well, there's no use in asking for a raise of hands on this, is there? Don't you think we kind of think we're real good because we don't steal and we don't get drunk and we don't do the bad things that we think? When you think of sinners, don't you think of murderers and whoremongers and drunkards and thieves? And that's the kind of bad people there are, right? Well, listen. That's not all God says. He doesn't just say, stop stealing, stop killing, stop murdering, stop getting drunk, stop smoking, stop cussing. He doesn't just say, stop all of that. With everything He tells you to stop do, He says, now start doing this. And I believe that the reason that God's people never really have clear direction in their lives is they stop doing some things, but they don't start doing the things God tells them to do. And so it is, he says in verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is" what? "The thing which is good." Work, labor, do the things that are good, "that he may have to give to him that needeth." There are people that genuinely need help. And it's not enough that you don't steal. You need to also work and labor with your hands. And you need to understand it's not to labor, to accumulate things for yourself, but it's also to give to those that stand in need. Now you want to know what God would have you to do? That's some very simple stuff right there. Stop lying. Speak the truth. Stop being angry. Stop holding malice in your heart. Stop stealing and start giving to those that need help. Listen to verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Do you ever say things that you know you ought not to say? Do you ever say things you know you ought not to say? Have you ever said, "I know I ought not to say this," and then go ahead and say something anyway? Now, if you're doing that, which I think may happen, I think all of us say things that we know we ought not to say. Sometimes it's gossiping. Sometimes it's slandering. Sometimes it's one thing and then another. Sometimes it's telling funny, in quotation marks, funny things, so the world will think we're part of them and we'll just blend in with them. Listen, brethren, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. We need to guard our tongues. You want to know what God would have you to do? These are some things that God would have you to do. For this cause came I into the world. To this end I was born. I was made by God, and I was born again by God to do the things He's telling me to do right here. I've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. These are some good works that I've been created to do. And I have the ability to do everything that's described in this passage of Scripture. And these are the simple, basic things that He's given for us. Look at verse 31. I didn't finish 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You not only don't need to be saying bad things, don't let bad communication come out of your mouth, but you need to be speaking words that will edify, that will teach, that will help other people know more about God to their edifying. The Word of God says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. How often do you not only not speak bad things, but how often do you teach people? How often do people learn from your mouth the things that God would have them to do? How often do people learn from your mouth the truth of God's holy word? If you're not doing that, then you're not doing the basic things that God has for you to do. Do you know why you're here? These are some of the reasons you're here on this earth as a child of God. Now come down to verse 31. Verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind. Anybody here ever unkind to anybody? Are you ever unkind? You ever have bad thoughts about other people? You ever think about somebody and you just think, you know, they're just not making it. They're not living up to God's standard. You ever thought that about anybody? Have you ever looked down on anybody? Have you ever looked down on any other parents that just, they don't know how to raise children like you do they? They're not near as smart. Oh, I wish everybody could raise children like I raise children. That's a Pharisaical attitude that God won't put up with, and you'll see a lot of trouble in your life when you start thinking you've got it all figured out. And when you aren't kind and you're looking down on other people and you're condemning other people, you better fasten your seatbelt. You're going to be reaping a lot of difficult things in your own life. So he says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then the next chapter begins, be therefore followers of God as dear children. So what's he talking about? And walk in love. What's he saying? He's saying now, God's created us to do some works here on this earth. And then he says, He's created us unto good works. We have the ability, He has equipped us to do these good works. Now, here are the things that you need to stop doing. Here are the things you need to start doing. These are some basic things to do. And then he finishes chapter 4, and he tells them in chapter 5 to stop being around those that are walking in darkness. And then he comes down in chapter 5, verse 18. He says, and be filled. He says, be not in verse 18. This is Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does he say here? What's a work that you have to do? What's something that you need to be doing? You need to be working to be filled with the Spirit of God. You didn't do anything to get born of the Spirit of God. God came to you when you were dead in trespasses and sins, and God quickened you and made you alive. But you do have a great deal. You determine by the grace of God, you doing what God's told you to do, you determine whether or not you are filled with the Spirit of God. And the only people that are filled with the Spirit of God are those that do what He says. After He says, be filled with the Spirit, He puts a colon there and then He lists 1, 2, 3. Do you see the simplicity of God's Word? Isn't it amazing how simple the Word of God is? That God says here, be filled with the Spirit. Then what's He say do? Well, He says, be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And then, do you do that? Do you do that? Do you sing to yourself? The people that are the most depressed, that I counsel the most and I try to talk to the most, and that I've been talking to some of them for 4 and 5 years, well, to some of them for 34 years. I talked with a lady that hadn't seen in several years. Last week, God put her on my heart, and I called her up, and oh, she was angry. She was furious. She was mad about one thing after another. And this is a woman that was as spiritual 28 years ago as anybody I know. But she was just full of anger. She was mad at the church she goes to in Alabama. She was mad at her family. She was mad at everybody. I said, how long has it been since you've been to church? I hadn't been in 3 weeks, and did you know not a one of them has called me? You see the anger she has? I said, sing to me. And before we got off the phone, she sang, and I said, now, I'm not still your pastor, but as long as I live, I'm still going to be watching you. I said, this coming Sunday, no, that was last Tuesday night. I said, tomorrow night I want you to go to church, and next Sunday morning and Sunday night I want you to go to church, and Monday morning I'm going to call you and find out if you've been to God's house, and I want you to get out and serve God's people, and I want you to sing every day. Well, I couldn't wait till Monday morning. Sunday night after church, I called her last Sunday night, and she laughed. She said, I knew you were going to call me tonight. She said, I was so mad at you last Wednesday. She said, I despised you last Wednesday. And I was furious with you. And I didn't want to go to church Wednesday night. But I knew you were going to call me. And I told you I was going to go. So I went. And she said, did you know God touched my heart last Wednesday night? And I felt the Spirit of God like I haven't felt in a long, long time. And she said, then Sunday got here, and I was anxious to go. And she said, I went Sunday morning and Sunday night, and she said, I feel so wonderful, it's beyond description. You know what it takes? Just do what the Word of God says. Religion is not complex. Knowing what God would have you to do is not difficult. God spells it out, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All through His Word. You can go to Ephesians. You can go to the book of James. You can go anywhere you want to in God's Word. You know what you're going to find? Here's what God would have you to do. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just do what God would have you to do, and guess what you'll feel? You'll feel the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You'll feel the God of peace. He'll be with you. You'll feel the presence of God when you start doing what God would have you to do. Now, what are most people waiting on? They want to know what God would have them to do. Do you see the inconsistency in all this? They're wanting some specific thing way down here. What most of them really want to do is preach. They want to skip everything else and preach. Let me tell you something, brethren. Pastoring is the hardest thing a human being has ever done in this earth. I'll guarantee you that. Unless it's being a mother. I think probably mothering is just as hard as pastoring. But a person that wants to be a pastor of a church doesn't know what he's asking for. You do the first works. Just do the simple things. And do you know what God will do? You know how God, Brother David mentioned this morning, how thankful he was that God led him to Baptist Village. Well, do you happen to know why God led him to Baptist Village? Do you know why God opened up that spot right there for him? Do you know why God gave him the ability to play the dulcimer and make dulcimers and sing and teach God's Word? He did all those basic things first, And then what did God do? Then God gave him a niche to use all those things that he had already done, just the basic things. And that's true of every one of you. If you'll just do those basic things that God has for you to do every day in your life, God will open up a door and you'll say, wow, this is wonderful. I really feel like I'm doing something now in service to God. God has called me for a specific work. And I pray that God will help every one of us as his dear children, that we'll be busy about our Father's business like Jesus was busy about his Father's business, doing what he was sent to do and happy to do those things to honor the Father. May God help us to do that, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.